Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Environmental advocates getting creative when it comes to trying to protect wildlife here in the province of British Columbia. Many of you will recall there is a pledge that has been made by the previous government before it became the government of British Columbia to end the trophy hunting of grizzly bears here in the province of British Columbia. This season, though, is going forward as planned. The idea is that the ban will come in roughly 1 year from now. I guess it would be, 10 months or so from now, next fall, when the grizzly hunting season would normally start. While there are what some describe as loopholes in that plan that would still allow the hunting of the bear for meat purposes or eating purposes, the idea of just hunting something to kill it and have a trophy, take a picture, then fly away, that will no longer be allowed. That does not help bears in the meantime. That's why groups such as Raincoast Conservation Foundation and others are trying to buy up the bear licenses so they can hold the right to kill a bear and then just not use it. Just let that bear walk away or live in peace or whatnot. They have a goal in terms of what they're trying to raise in terms of money. They've already got a few licenses. Here to talk about the details, we are joined by Brian Falconer. He is a guide outfitter coordinator for Raincoast Conservation Foundation. Sir, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, Adam.
Tell us about this plan to buy up the bear licenses.
Right. Just wanted to quickly correct
Thing there. Sure.
Is that the grizzly hunt will stop after this season, which the season is now over as of tomorrow, actually. And so that policy will take effect after November 30th. So there won't be a spring hunt for grizzly bears either.
Okay,
and
that's good.
Within the Great Bear Rainforest, that loophole that you talked about, the meat hunt, will not be permitted. There will be no killing of grizzly bears in the Great Bear Rainforest. So people might ask why we're continuing to the project that we had to purchase the guide outfitter licenses, the commercial hunting tenures in the Great Bear Rainforest.
Yes.
There's a very good reason for that, is that grizzly bears are one of 61 species that guide outfitters are allowed to kill. Black bears, wolves, cougars, wolverines, mountain goats, these are all other species that will still be continued to be hunted, and largely for trophies within the Great Bear Rainforest. So ours is a business solution of buying out the people that have those hunting rights and then, as you say, gaining control of those hunting rights and basically unsuccessfully hunting them for the next, in perpetuity.
Maybe you can help me understand this. I've never understood why, even though the trophy hunt for meat, or I guess it won't be called a trophy hunt, a meat hunt for a bear, I don't know who eats bear meat, but that's another topic. I don't understand why it will be banned within the Great Bear Rainforest but still exist elsewhere.
You'd have to ask the politicians that. It is a very complex political situation. The Great Bear Rainforest is an area that has gained worldwide attention over the years, and specifically last year inducted into the Queen's Canopy. And so it's an area that also bear viewing is one of the major economic drivers in that entire area. So it was an area that was identified as a high priority. And I think that ultimately, you may see other areas in the province, particularly with First Nations support, sort of follow into this pattern. But they wanted to be very, very clear that the bears in the Great Bear Rainforest were protected. What they meant by that was that the grizzly bears were protected. Mm-hmm. And so, some of the outfitters kill as many as 60 black bears a year. Mm-hmm. So. And in the same areas that have been developed really, really heavily for bear viewing. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't matter to a group of bear viewers if the guy that comes up the valley and in front of them shoots a black bear as opposed to a grizzly bear. It's still going to change the behavior of the bears in that area, and it's going to really, really impact the bear viewing operations in that area.
Let's talk about these trophy hunting licenses and the ones you're trying to acquire.
Yeah, we started in 2005, and we own four of these hunting licenses at this point, three, and this is the fourth. Mm-hmm. This tenure that we now have a purchase agreement for is in the absolute heart of the Great Bear Rainforest. These are some of the most beautiful and iconic watersheds of the Great Bear Rainforest. They're set in these beautiful snow-capped coastal mountains, and they're just really rich river estuaries. prime habitat for grizzly bears, black bears, wolves. Each of these watersheds has their own pack of wolves. They're very, very constantly used by both the First Nations operations, the Kitisuhehe, and the Gitgat have really very important bear viewing operations that are providing tremendous employment in their communities. And they use these on a daily basis. And the other tour operators on the coast also use them very regularly. So these are really important to that part of the BC economy. To try and describe them, they're just absolutely spectacular. They defy description. One watershed that I can sort of try to describe is just a setting of snow-capped glacier mountains and a huge waterfall as you anchor the boat. This gigantic green meadowed estuary that's just full of bears and wolves and all manner of wildlife and just really productive salmon rivers. It's the heart of the Great Bear Rainforest.
It is an area that covers more than 2,300 square kilometers. Large carnivores live there. Grizzlies, black bears, spirit bears, wolves, cougars, and wolverines. Raincoast Conservation Foundation, they're buying it up. They're going to buy the exclusive hunting rights for that area, not so they can use them and kill things, so that they can let the things there live in peace. We are speaking with Brian Faulkner. He's a guide outfitter coordinator for Raincoast Conservation Foundation. They're trying to raise money to facilitate purchases such as this. This is the fourth tract of land that they have purchased exclusive hunting rights to. They're hoping to do even more in future with your help. We'll get details on that, as well as what do you think of this idea? What do you think of the idea of conservation foundations paying the same money that a hunter would to get the exclusive hunting rights for that area and then just deciding to exercise their rights because they own those rights to not use them? That almost sounds like capitalism working. Let's take a quick break. Back after this.
It's Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Governments allow individuals and organizations to buy exclusive commercial licenses to hunt various game here in the province of British Columbia. Well, the Raincoast Conservation Foundation has struck a deal to buy its fourth tenure in the heart of the Great Bear Rainforest. They say the area covers more than 2,300 square kilometers. They're trying to raise money, of course, as it goes forward on this. Brian Faulkner is our guest. He is guide outfitter coordinator for Raincoast Conservation Foundation. Our phone lines open at 250-386-1161. Let's go to the calls. Joan is on the air. Joan, go ahead.
Hi, I've got five questions. I'd like to ask them all and then have your...
You know, Joan, the problem is when you ask five questions, you get to four and we can't remember the first. And can you ask maybe the best one?
If you can't remember five things, I think that you may have a problem too. But
well, you know what, Joan? Bye-bye. You didn't get to ask any. That's unfortunate. Brian Faulkner, let's talk more about this particular area. 2,300 square kilometers, rich habitat for carnivores, including grizzlies. How much money does something like this cost?
We need to raise $500,000 for this. Think about it. You can't buy a small condo in Victoria or Vancouver for that. Like I say, it covers 2,300 square kilometers. We've raised over $2 million to buy the first three, and so we need another $500,000 to buy this one.
$500,000. Where does that come from?
It'll come from mostly private donors. In the past, that's been the case. We have had everything from people making significant donations as sort of part of their legacy. We've had school classes that have raised $35 at with some activity and brought it into us in toonies and loonies. And it's just that kind of support that's allowed us to do this over the years.
How long have you been doing this?
Since 2005 was the purchase of our first territory.
I'm just wondering, in terms of government leasing out these areas, do you worry, and I know this is being perhaps cynical, but do you worry that government leases these things out knowing that it'll be hunted? It bans them if it doesn't want any hunting to occur there. Do you worry that by buying these licenses, you're discouraging government from ever sort of reclaiming this area and just banning hunting outright because they know that there's no animals getting killed anyway and they might as well take your money instead of taking nobody's money?
Sorry, I'm not following that. In terms of rescinding the license?
Well, I'm just saying they give out these commercial licenses so people can hunt bears, yes? If they figure out that these licenses are going out and nobody's actually hunting the bears, does that worry you at all in terms of conservation? Because they won't bother banning it. They won't bother just not giving out the licenses anymore because there's no actual animals dying. They'll just keep the licenses out there.
Well, I think at this point that they have done what they're going to do, and whether they make changes in the future, and that can be in either direction. They can actually issue the bans and make it, official that there's no hunting of any of these species in there. Or, we've had experiences with governments in 2001 where, one government makes a policy and makes a decision, and then it can be reversed by a future government, or even within the same government, wildlife policies can change. And so that's what we want to do, is we want to ensure that we control the commercial hunting rights over this area. And so whatever policy decisions are made or not made, it's our prerogative. And I think that that's sort of ensuring the permanence of this ban.
Our guest, Brian Faulkner, he's a guide outfitter coordinator for Raincoast Conservation Foundation. They've been doing this for a number of years, celebrating the acquisition of their fourth tenure in terms of an exclusive commercial hunting license in the area around the Great Bear Rainforest. This one, their fourth, covers 2,300 square kilometers, a number of large carnivores. Is there an end game for your organization, Brian, or are you just buying as many licenses as possible for as long as possible?
No, our focus has always been the Great Bear Rainforest. We were very involved in the campaign that created the Great Bear Rainforest. And we worked with First Nations partners in that area for 25 years. And, this is, to a large extent, supporting their desires and their values. We would like to buy all of the hunting tenures within the Great Bear Rainforest. That's our objective in the long run. And as we have reasonable opportunities at a fair price to pursue them, we will. And, First Nations have really supported this initiative, and they have helped us in the past in terms of raising money, and it certainly fits within the new economy in British Columbia. If you look at the Kitisou as an example, the Kitisou Hehe Nation out of Bantu, they invested in a lodge, the Spirit Bear Lodge, and in a community of 300 people, a very, very remote community, 50 people are now working in the tourism business, in tourism industry, and they're really good jobs. And to try and create 50 jobs in a really remote community of 300 people is very difficult, and especially without whacking stuff down and exporting it to foreign countries. This is an export product. People come to their lodge from all over the world, and they're booked a year in advance now to view bears and to not kill them and drag them out and mount them on their wall. So it is an investment in the new economy, and I think that the government has recognized that and has made this investment in a different kind of non-extractive economy.
All right, let's go back to our phone lines, the Voices of Victoria, if you'd like to ask a question or a comment, preferably not six questions that need to be answered in reverse order or else. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
You're Brian, welcome.
Thank you for what you're doing out there. I'm definitely a person who does not believe that any animal should be destroyed for hunting or any other purposes. But having said that, my question would be, what is being done to really hard lobby our government to cease handing out these licenses anywhere in the province of British Columbia, or for that matter, right across Canada? I mean, bears are wonderful creatures. I'm not saying we can we can live with them, because they are wild and they are carnivorous, and so therefore there are some dangers associated with them. But to just hunt them for sport, I just do not understand that. So whatever we can do collectively, perhaps, to lobby our government to cease and desist, as it were, I'd be glad to be a part of.
Steve, thanks for the call. Brian Faulkner.
Oh, he's absolutely correct. I mean, it is such an anachronism in today's society that people come from all over the world to actually slaughter an animal and take out selected bits and take them home and mount them on their wall. Particularly with wide-ranging creatures like bears, that their habitat has been so fragmented and so they've suffered so much from human expansion, and for us for the absolutely frivolous reason of you know, someone's thrill of the kill. You know, we're really careful to say we're not anti-hunting. We don't, you know, oppose all hunting. But the trophy hunting of carnivores is just something that people don't have a tolerance for anymore. And you know, slowly politicians are catching up to that. But it's a very, very strong lobby, and it's supported by strong hunting lobby interests that are international, particularly from the U.S.
What do you think's behind that sort of shift in the way society considers hunting? And full disclosure, you know, I come from a family of hunters. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad and my uncle were always going out after a moose and elk and any number of other things. Society itself seems to have changed since then.
Well, I think there's a lot more of us, and I think people are much more aware of the stresses on wildlife and the fact that there are so many populations of so many different species that are in decline. And, you know, I think that we're starting to feel a little guilty about pushing these animals to the edge of extinction in some cases, and certainly, you know, just completely degrading the habitat and the life requisites that they need. And I think that there's a much greater awareness of that stress. And I think that when you put that up against someone who has a lot of money, who's able to, just for the thrill of killing something, able to do that, pay a lot of money and have the privilege of killing something beautiful and wild, I think that people have started to recognize that there's no moral foundation for that.
Do you think that we have a double standard? You know, and I'm not trying to be glib. I'm just thinking of all the cattle that get slaughtered every day, all the pigs that get slaughtered every day, endless factory farming operations around this world of ours, and yet we consider shooting a bear to be immoral.
Well, I think that there's all kinds of moral dichotomies. You know, we will send someone to jail for abusing their next-door neighbor's dog, and yet the provincial government will machine gun wolf packs from a helicopter. So if the dog has a name, it's protected. If it's a wild animal, it's not. So we do draw these distinctions between domestic animals and wild animals in both directions. And yeah, you're probably right. I grew up on deer meat. I grew up in a hunting family on the prairies, and you know, I don't have a problem with people when there's abundant ungulates that are really, really well used. I think that's okay. And then we make these distinctions. We make distinctions in every facet of our lives. And so they're difficult to make. They're difficult to draw those lines. But people have really, really clearly come on the side of sport hunting of carnivores is just, it's just amoral.
I guess once upon a time it was a way to show man's dominion and mastery over nature, over savagery, over beasts that could kill us. Whereas nowadays you have to say, what is the real risk? You know, if you really wanted to, you could fly around a helicopter with night vision goggles and thermal imaging and find the bear, shoot the bear with a 50 cal and it would never even see it coming, or whatever. The thrill that our ancestors engaged in hunting simply doesn't exist anymore.
There's so much of that that's based on a society that doesn't exist anymore. It's an abundance that doesn't exist anymore. It's a society where those animals had sufficient habitat, sufficient food supply. You're right, it's an anachronism. And the technology now, in terms of guns and scopes and all of that stuff, and incredibly in terms of access as well, you've got extremely expensive ATVs that you don't even have to walk up the hill anymore. You can drive there, and you've got airplane access and helicopter access to very remote places. So, you know, it isn't anything like it was even 50 years ago. So, you know, it's really time. And, I do really applaud this government. It's the first government that has taken steps in this direction, and it's a courageous move. But I think it is responding to those changes, those societal changes.
He is a guide outfitter and coordinator with Raincoast Conservation Foundation. They are raising money for the purchase of their fourth commercial hunting license in the Great Bear Rainforest. No, they're not going to be killing any bears. They're buying up the land to make sure the bears do not get killed on it because they have the exclusive rights. Brian Faulkner, where can people go for more information?
Our website is very information-rich, www.raincoast.org.
Brian Faulkner, thank you for your time.
My great pleasure. Thank you, Adam.
Take care. 250-386-1161 if you want to ask a question or a comment. I don't know. Long strings of intricate questions where you lead the person down a path and try to trap them. I don't know. We'll make time for questions. We'll make time for comments here. We're not going to hive off 7.5 minutes. Somebody can weave an intricate. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. The news is coming up next. Stay with us.